Father, we give you praise. We need not be afraid at any time. While we're yet sinners, Christ, you died for us. You gave your life. It's ransom. Because you elected and decided that we're worth it. Not because we're worthy, but because you decided that we're worth dying for. You've loved us with an everlasting love, and we need not think otherwise today. But if you loved us then, you love us now. Therefore, we need not be afraid. We need not cover ourselves with fake leaves. For you have paid the price, the perfect price, not only to cover and atone by covering our sins, but by your redemptive grace and by the shed blood, you are counted us worthy to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. We give you praise for your redemptive grace. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, that you found us worthy because you called us that. Now, Lord, we ask, oh God, that even as you have dealt so graciously with us, that we too will deal with each other and even with ourselves that graciously. Father, that we will not point the finger of accusation at each other, but that, Lord, oh God, that these hands will write letters of love, letters of mercy, share grace, and cause everyone to rise up in the righteousness that only you, God, can give. We give you praise for all things, and we thank you for this moment. Most High God, in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad I'm home and missed you all. And thank God for the pastors that were able to fill in and minister the word of God while we were away. We were in Israel. And men from Israel, we stopped in the Toronto church for this last Saturday and Sunday. Last Saturday, they had an amazing concert. It was just phenomenal, the Toronto church. And then, of course, we ministered Sunday and rested a little bit on Monday, if you might call that rest, and headed back yesterday so that we can be here tonight. We give God praise for all things. Amen. I trust you guys had a good time also here. Praise the Lord. We've been studying through the book of Matthew. I don't know how long, but it's been all year long. I don't know now. But we're in the 18th chapter. And I suppose we got up to verse 14 last time. I think so. So today we will continue from verse 15. Matthew 18, as we discussed it, I shared with you that it was more or less about relationships. From the very beginning of the chapter till this very moment, in very indirect ways, the Lord was addressing the subject of relationships, the importance of it, how we must relate with each other, how we relate with God, and so on and so forth. And coming to the 15th verse, it becomes more clear. He's been very general, coming down verse by verse, verse by verse. Now he's beginning to hone in on this particular subject in a very precise and practical way. The previous verse talks about the 99 sheep that were in order and the one that went astray, and how he left the 99 to get the one that was lost. And when he found that one and brought him back, there was rejoicing, because God is interested in restoration. Amen? Restoration. The restoration of relationships. And that's why he came. He came to restore relationships. Now, if that is God, if God is about restoring relationships, then the devil is about breaking relationships. Let us understand that. That any attitude, any spirit, no matter how well put together the thoughts and the ideas are, that tries to break relationships between brothers and sisters is of the devil. The devil's about breaking relationships. And so he will backbite. He will gossip. He will manipulate people. He will cause people to buck heads together so that things fall apart. And in the process of doing that, he does that to discredit people and cause people not to relate. That is the devil. No matter how sweet-tongued the statements are, it is the devil. The devil is about destroying relationships. So the Lord, after dealing with all of that, comes to the 14th verse or 15th verse and says, moreover, if you don't get the point, that the point is about restoration, that you go looking for the one that is lost and make sure that they're restored. He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass, that's a strong word. Because this same word is the same root word for sin, hamartia. The word for trespass, yes, is hamartano. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass or sin against you, he does something contrary, go and tell him his fault. Go to him personally, one-on-one. Nobody knows about this. This is not about, did you see what this person did to me? And you're busy talking to everybody, and finally said, well, maybe I should talk to him. No, the Bible says, forget about everybody else. This has nothing to do with them. This is between you and your brother. He's done you wrong. Go to him privately, alone. Go and tell him his fault. Between thee and him, what's the next word? Alone. Nobody else. Nobody else should know about it. Period. Period. not your wife, not your husband, not your children, not your fellow church members, not your fellow employees, nobody. Do you understand that? To do anything but that is to go contrary to the dictates and the address of the Lord. Somebody does something wrong to me, my wife doesn't know about it. Period. It's none of our business. She must not know about it because I am not going to sour her relationship with that person because you see, the fact is, after you've corrected it with this person over here has been polluted already. And now they start having a problem with somebody they have no business having any problems with because you polluted them. That's the devil. Some say that's the devil. Go and tell him his fault. Tell him his fault. What is that fault? The fault is you revealing to them that they have done something wrong, either intentionally or unintentionally. You did this, and I don't think that's right. And this is why I feel strongly about it. Now, what that does is that it gives that other person the opportunity to apologize to you, first of all. And that is important. Because this apology is not about the fact that I did something wrong or didn't do something wrong. The apology is that you feel that I did something wrong to you. And you are right to feel whatever it is you want to feel. Now, having heard you, if I believe that whatever it is that you're saying is not right, now I come and I state my case and say, you know, brother, I apologize for that you feel this way, but now, having apologized, let me explain myself. Now you place your case. You state your case to that person, and the person now, you know what? I should apologize to you because I misread whatever it is that you said or whatever it is that you did or whatever the situation was. But now that you've explained to me, I apologize to you. Now you've gained a brother. The reason you go and you talk to the brother is not just to make sure that you get an apology because they are wrong, but because you want to have clarity on what happened. What happened? How did we get here? Having that clarity establishes a precedence for peace between you and your brother. And the Lord says, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You've gained him. Or another word is that you've won him. Won him from what? From the plot of the devil. The plot of the devil to divide you. The plot of the devil to separate you. The plot of the devil to make certain that there was no more any state or placement for harmony and unity. That's why. Then it goes on and says, but if he will not hear thee, after you've gone to him personally, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If you are not successful dealing with him one-on-one, then get two more people. Now, the two more people are not people that are going to be there to side with you. That's not the idea. The idea is to get two people that will listen to what you guys are talking about and bring about an understanding between you and your brother. Hold it. Brother, you're not listening to what he said. Now, both of you cannot be talking at the same time. You're talking over each other's head. Okay, can we just stop for a moment? I think what Brother A is saying to you is this. Brother A, am I stating what you said correctly? Yes. Okay, do you understand what Brother A is now saying? Yes. But, okay, if the argument continues, now it says, take it past that place, and now you go to the church. Now, those two people that you bring with you are not there to go spreading whatever you guys talked about. That is not the idea. This information goes no further than those two, unless the Bible says, if he shall neglect to hear them, not you now. You've stated your case. Now, he did not listen or she did not listen. Now you've brought two other people, one or two other people, and they've stated the case, understood what is being said, and still the brother still does not accept what they said. Not what you said. Now they are prosecuting the case. Are you with me so far? They are looking at the case and speaking on your behalf based on truth. He says, if he shall neglect, but if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. Now, when it gets to this level, we have a serious problem. You will see the problem in verse 18. He says, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican, somebody who is a sinner. An ungodly person. Now, okay. So what does that mean? That does not now mean throwing the person out. That now means that you've got a job cut out for you. Because this means that this brother has gone astray. And now we've got to go get this brother that has gone astray and restore this brother. That's what that means. You get it? So what is it now that happens? Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what's the point? Now, this statement here has two dimensions to it. First dimension is dealing with the issue as somebody who is gone astray. So this dimension is turning your face at the enemy and saying, you are not going to take our brother. You are not going to take our sister. You are not going to destroy our church. We bind this force of darkness that's trying to create confusion in the body. So the target now is on the devil. Are you with me? Now, the flip side, which is the weaker side, and the Word of God, while it gives room to this other level of interpretation to that verse, is not promoting this aspect. So what is this aspect? That is the aspect of binding that person who is, you know, like Paul says, he says in one situation, this person is acting crazy, throw him out to the devil so that the devil can torment him. Remember that in 1 Corinthians? Say, give him up to the devil. Let the devil hit him real hard, and then he says, go get him, go get him, go get him back. Get him back before the devil kills him. So, while this is not the primary aspect that the word the Lord is wanting to promote, of you binding a brother with chains, that means in this case that he begins to feel the pain of not having a covering over his life. That now the devil accesses his life and begins to torment him, that he's forced to cry out. That is the flip side. But the greater aspect that the Lord Jesus Christ wants is for that body, that church, now to target the enemy and says the devil is about messing up my brother, my sister's life. The devil has come in here to generate offense. The devil has come in here to create confusion. We come against the power of darkness and we destroy its control and influence over this church, over this family, over this relationship, over this marriage, and so on and so forth. You target the enemy so that he loses his grip from attacking a brother or a sister who is part of the family of God. We get the point? But what do? We start taking sides. Oh, my brother, it's true what they did to you, that it was really bad. Ah. Even myself, I'm really feeling bad about everything. If they did this to you, what are they going to do to me? Blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, you scatter the family, you scatter the church, you scatter the business, you scatter everything. Meanwhile, God is saying, I want restoration. His idea is restoration, not division. He's not interested in that. He wants restoration. And he's that kind of a God that even with devil has done, God pursues restoration. Even when he knew that the devil will not repent, he died to cover all of his creation, Colossians chapter 2. Pay the price. If that is not enough, he put the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Brings him out because he's still seeking restoration. And when the devil did not change, to the lake of fire. That is the final point. Now, we can bind the enemy. We can do whatever it is that we want to do. But if a man has set up his will not to change, there is nothing you can do about it. People can see the truth like this and bypass it because their hearts are hardened. And they just want to do whatever it is they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. And we cannot allow the enemy to poison our hearts towards each other. Hallelujah. So wherever you see it, don't support it. Because to support any mindset that generates and continues to foster division, separation, confusion is to be on the devil's program, not on God's program. God is about restoration. God pursues restoration. And you've got to do that for yourself. Now, as a pastor, through the years, I've seen people come and go. Some people came quietly and left quietly. Some people came quietly and left with a big noise. Some people came flashy and left flashy. What do I do? When somebody has treated you in a way that you know you should not be treated, what do you do? Make an enemy of them? When you see them, swear at them, curse them? Or when you see them, even when they are hiding from you, you go and say, "Hello, how are you? How's your family? How are you doing? How are the children?" What do you do? The latter. Just love people. And create room for them if they want to come back. To come back. Not to create walls and division and badmouth them so that they don't have a chance of saving face. They left in error. Love them back and don't add to the error. Create room because we need each other. Amen? We need each other. You need me, I need you. If we held on to what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us and we apply it to our relationships in church, our relationships in our business places, our relationship with in our community, our relationships in our marriages, the devil will have a hard time winning anybody. Because your wife is not your enemy. And your husband is not your enemy. But there's an enemy that wants to make you think that your spouse is your enemy. There's an enemy that wants you to think that your fellow employees are your enemy. Now, they may be planning all kinds of crazy things and plotting and whatever else to circumvent and to manipulate situations around you so that you don't accomplish whatever it is that you need to accomplish. They may not be giving their best to make sure that you succeed. That is their business. Your business is to be committed to the purposes of God and to live life that will glorify God and to do your part to the glory of God, so that when God beholds you, he can say of you, well done. You did your best. You did everything you should do. Because anger, strife, generates an atmosphere for every evil work. Every evil work is present when we are in strife. So what does the word of the Lord go on to say? Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, no, this verse got to be because we are agreeing for me to have a financial breakthrough. That's what that verse is about. Is that the contest? The contest of that is about division. The enemy trying to create division in the body. He says, and if any two of us shall agree concerning anything, concerning this fact, we've got a Father who is in heaven that will assist us to make sure that there's restoration. That's what he's talking about. Which means that as the body of Christ, we can always be in unity. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit by the bonds of peace. That's our pursuit. That's our pursuit. To do everything we can to make certain that God is glorified in our midst. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. It shall be done for them. It shall be done for them. Lord, the enemy is trying to create strife in our family. We refuse this division. We refuse this spirit of strife and confusion. We refuse this spirit of division that's trying to come into our church. We declare, God, that the spirit of unity reigns here. Father, oh God, we cry out to you, unity, unity, harmony, oneness, togetherness, restoration. And the word of God says it shall be done for them. God will bring about restoration. God will bring about unity. Our Father, which is in heaven. That's what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Wow! That verse must be about, okay, there's only two or three of us here for prayer meeting, so the Lord is here. Is that the context? No. Now we can apply to that. But it says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name. In my name? In my name? What is in my name? In my name here is you are gathered together with the spirit of oneness, unity, restoration. That's in my name. We're working together to build together. That's in my name. It says, when you're doing that, there am I in the midst of them. When he's there in the midst of them, there's got to be liberty, freedom. Become free. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133. Huh? Behold how good, Tobe. How pleasant, Tobe. In essence, behold how good and how good, or behold how pleasant and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, abide together in unity. Verse 2 says, that place of abiding is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. That's a lot of oil. That's not a dab. Unity means that God pours it on. Unity means that you have to take a bath to get rid of the oil. You cannot wipe it off. You are greased up. And if the enemy tries to grab you, you're so slippery, he can't hold on to you. Hallelujah. That's what unity is. It says, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in the place where unity is, there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, that's interesting. Where unity is, there is life forevermore. Where unity is, there is salvation. That means where unity is not, there is no salvation, no eternal life, no life forevermore. Is this heavy? So why is it that believers are always squabbling? In my years of being a Christian, I think I finally came to the conclusion that if I weren't saved and I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus, that I will not be a Christian. Because the meanest people I've met in life, really, the meanest, I met in church. It was not out there. I met them in church. The people that swore at me and swore at my children and cursed my children, I met in church, not in the world. I met them in church. The people that have betrayed, I met in church. And if I hadn't had a personal relationship, I'll forget it all. But too late, I met Jesus. And I know he's real. Hallelujah. And I looked at all this nonsense and said, that's not going to stop me. I know who carries me. And come this, come that, I will leap over the wall and run through the troop. Amen? So, you want to talk what you want to talk? Talk whatever you want to talk. Say whatever it is you want to say. As long as I know that I and God are aligned. That's all I need to worry about. Now, that's not to say that I do everything perfectly. Oh, no. That would be the biggest lie. Everybody has their skeletons. Now, when I say skeleton, I don't mean that there's something bad. Just means there's some things that you want to keep to yourself, you and God. God, I need help here. Hey, I blew it here. Ay, 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 ay. How did you do that? Why did you say that? And you want to deal with situations. And I thank God that God, I tell you what, God is a master secret keeper. Yeah. If God ever exposes you, he's talked to you over and over and over and over and over, and you are not changing, and you don't have any intention of changing, and now he has to bring the koboko, the big strap, and straighten you out. But the God of mercy is merciful, and he expects us to extend mercy one to the other. How many times your brother sinned against you before you let them go? Seven times? How many times? And the response of the Lord is not about, you know, forgive them 490 times in a day. The idea of 70 is every single moment, don't hold a grudge. Just keep on going. That's the idea. Actually, that's exactly the next verse. That's exactly the next verse. He said unto him, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Thought he was doing big, that's a big number. He says unto him, I say, not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which will take account of his servants. Let's stop there. But the point is, God in Matthew 18 is talking about relationships and us endeavoring to make sure that we do not give room to the devil separate us. Separation, divorce hurts not just one person, it hurts a whole slew of people. Skipping from church to church hurts a whole lot of people. Splitting congregations hurts a whole lot of people. I don't care how successful you became after splitting that church. You were doing the devil's work. You're not there to separate people. You're there to build together. Private agendas do not build the purposes of God. You start a relationship, keep it whole. Work with it. Work on it. Go after the real enemy, the one who is always trying to separate loved ones, trying to separate people, trying to generate strife. A brother, a sister who is not there to quench the fire, who is there to add gasoline. It's not of God. Period. That's not God. No matter which lipstick you put on that pig, it's still a pig. Call it Mr. Piggy, Mrs. Piggy, whatever, it's still a rotten swine. Division, separation, lack of restoration. It's something that we must fervently, with everything within us, go after. To stamp off our families, our relationships. You cannot feed that monster. It may look like a pussycat today, but when it grows up, it's going to be a roaring lion that you cannot tame. Maybe a little spark now. But this spark might become an inferno. Are you able to control this thing? You started. You started. Can you quench it? And so God says, don't start that. Cool it. Quench it. Turn things around to the glory of God. Every satanic agenda must be brought to naught. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Rise with me. I want everyone here, those listening online, wherever you are, I want you to lift up your voice right now and go after the real enemy. The enemy that wants to create division, create separation, create confusion in relationships, and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I present this case before my Father, and I ask, Father, intervene, intervene, and destroy every attempt of the enemy to break up my family, break up my business, break up my church, break up my relationships, whatever the enemy is trying to do. Father, intervene and let those strongholds be bound right now. Amen? Let minds be released from the infectious activities of the evil one. Pray. Pray. Lift up your voice before the Lord. Give no room for the devil to operate. Release judgment on the powers of darkness. He's always trying to create confusion. He's always trying to create division. He's always trying to create confusion amongst brothers, misunderstandings, miscommunications. cross communication. Let those forces of darkness bow to the authority of the Word of God today. Begin to declare in the name of Jesus that brothers and sisters that have been deceived, that they will come to their right mind, that they will come to their right self and recognize their need for unity, that they will pursue unity and oneness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Poreba shandele masakaya. Reba reba seke leba roto. Rakate masheka leba rotaki. Brontani masokoto leba. Yandele masokoto lebroko shakaye. Yekete sendele masaye. Kiandala bashaka. Rakatsoto lobose. Kili mate maso kae, shandele broko sonde, mandeka taya labosha, reka maswacha, nimatofoke nimaswai. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we ask, O God, for your intervention in our families, in our church, in our businesses, in our communities. We ask, O God, that the spirit of the enemy that is trying to create an atmosphere of division, Lord, O God, will begin to fall apart now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, O God, for our nation. We pray, O God, for the nation south of us, the United States of America. Lord, O God, where division is beginning to speculate amongst the people. Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, let that spirit of darkness that's generating divisiveness, oh God, begin to collapse now. Let it collapse now. Let it collapse now. Let it collapse now. Let it collapse now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare, God, that every spirit of divisiveness that is beginning to operate, oh God, in the body of Christ, Lord, oh God, that stronghold be shattered now in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind these strongholds with the word of wisdom, the word of truth, oh God, in Jesus' name. We declare that every satanic agenda receives swift judgment from above. Crack open the head of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you and your cohorts have no place in our families. You have no place with our children. You will not create problems in our families, in our marriages. You will not create problems in our church. For this day we declare that the peace of God reigns here. Oneness and unity is in this place. The oil of favor is upon our lives. The oil of joy is upon our lives. The oil of oneness is upon our lives. And we operate in the unity of the Spirit. For the commanded blessings of God rise within us, is flourishing in us and with us, and wherever we go, we are called peacemakers. Blessed be the name of the living God. Blessed be the name of the living God. In the name of Jesus, we call this so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel led to read something to us as we leave. It's found in Matthew 5, beginning to read from verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Someone say, I obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, Pure people, people with pure hearts, do not have conniving, manipulative, secret agendas. He says, these people, they get to see God. Hallelujah. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Amen? Some say, I am a child of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's honor God with our givings. And I thank God for everyone that faithfully honored God with their givings. Our tithe and our offerings come to the house of the Lord. I bless those that have been listening online. We look forward to seeing you this Friday. And then, of course, on Sunday morning. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.